Beautiful hymns, beautiful singing this morning. Please that you take your Bibles out to the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading with the first verse. We've kind of got down to verse 5, but we kind of got to bring ourselves into it. And so Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to read your precious word. Thank you for the words of those hymns that we can sing and lift up our voices to you in praise and worship to you. And so please, dear Lord, just continue to guide and lead us and take your precious word here as we look at this wonderful salvation experience that this man named Saul has received here. I hope that all that are here have experienced the word upon their heart, that they have trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I don't want anyone to leave here today without knowing your Son, dear Father, as their Lord and Savior of their life. And so please, just touch every heart today with your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And just a slight and very quick review as we've read those top verses of Scripture. We find this man named Saul was directed by the council. He requested the direction, and he received the direction to go out and to arrest, whether it be man or woman, anyone that would confess the name of Jesus. And he would go out, and he would want them to denounce the name of Jesus. And if they refused, well, then he would bring them back to Jerusalem to be arrested. And we know by his background and by the history of this man named Saul that he didn't just want them arrested. He wanted them put to death. He wanted them silenced. And so he had received these papers to go to Damascus. He was on his way to Damascus. It's about 120 miles above from Jerusalem north. And so as he was traveling, and we know that he was near Damascus, I believe, when this took place, and all of a sudden there came there was suddenly shined round about him a light from heaven. And so as we've looked at this light, was this the Shekinah glory cloud of fire that the Israelites experienced in when they came out of Egypt, was led out of Egypt? Very possible. But we know something. We know that it was a very bright light, and he just closed his eyes and fell to the ground, and the words came to him in verse 4, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And so any time we find in the Scripture, whether it's verily, verily, listen very clearly, or if in this case his name is repeated twice, listen. Listen to what I've got to say. And so Saul, Saul was the words from our Lord Jesus from heaven speaking to him. He had a question, and that question, "Why persecutest thou me?" Or another way to term that would be, what is your purpose for this journey? And of course, the Lord knew what the purpose of that journey was to stop and put an end to Christianity as far as Saul was concerned, and as far as the Sanhedrin was concerned. They wanted an end to this movement, and that's all they looked, they believed it to be, just a movement. And so let's stop it. And that's what they had sent out, this man named Saul. And we know there were many others doing the same thing. It wasn't just Saul only that was sent out from the Sanhedrin to stop this. And so the question was then, you know, why persecutest thou me? Why are you doing this? And then the response from Saul was, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Prior to this time, Saul had no idea who that voice was, what that powerful light was. Now he knows. Now he knows. "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest," the Scripture said. And it continues there in that fifth verse, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Saul, what you're doing is something that's impossible. You think that you can just persecute and put to death a few Christians and it's going to stop it. But it's not against just these people that confess the Lord Jesus, these people that love me and that have trusted in me as their Savior. It's not them. You are persecuting God. You're persecuting me. And you think you can put an end to me? That's the question. He wants Saul to think about that. Do you think you can eliminate God? You can eliminate the Son of God, because that's who you're persecuting here. And so as we look at those things into the fifth verse there, again, you know, what you're trying to do cannot happen. And so just stop doing them. There's no reason to do them. And so now when we get down to this sixth verse, we find the condition. So the words that are proclaimed out of Saul's mouth, there are two questions that he lifts up. The first question was, "Who are you?" And we've just looked at that in verse 5, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And then in verse 6, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And so we find this man that is very educated, this man that is top of his game, so to speak, had such an anger and a vengeance towards Israel and towards Christians, and wanted to support Israel. what the Sanhedrin and believed that Israel wanted to do, because this was not the Messiah, this wasn't the Savior. They were looking for a king to come to deliver them from Rome, and that king had not come. He was born in a stable to a lowly carpenter, and he didn't live as a king would live. He didn't deliver us, so he cannot be the Savior that we were looking for. And he had missed the very point that the Savior had come, and not to save them from the burdens of Rome, but save them from their sin. So, two questions. One question was, who art thou? And the second question is, what wilt thou have me to do? That's the only two statements that Saul makes. That's it. He's quiet besides that. Trembling. Another word for trembling would be terrified. Saul was terrified by this light. At this point, he does not realize that he can't see. His eyes are closed. They're clenched shut with this bright light and this voice from heaven. And astonished is to be amazed or dumbfounded. And so that was the condition that we find that Saul is in right here. You know, the Shekinah glory and the voice from heaven calling his name terrified Saul. It made him speechless. Here was this mighty man, you know, in strength, not necessarily in stature, but is in strength and in power and authority. And we find him now with his eyes clenched shut, and was terrified and was speechless. The only two sentences he says is, who art thou, and what are you going to have me to do? That's the only two things that he speaks of here. And so these two questions, from that time on, not a word is spoken or recorded as far as something that Saul would say. And we need to understand, as Saul needed to understand, and that is that we don't deal with God about our salvation. We don't make a deal. We don't say, I'm going to serve you, so now save me. Or I'm going to join the church, and so now save me, take my sin away. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to always be good. We don't have the ability or power or authority in any way to bargain with God. And we find here that Saul is finding that out. Because up to this time, he was bargaining with God. I'm serving you, I'm doing this. And as far as he knew, according to the Jewish law and tradition, he was fine. There was nothing wrong with him. God had to show him that there is something wrong with you, very wrong. You're a rotten sinner, and you're going to die in your sin. And you're not going to tell me how God's going to save you. You're not going to tell me anything. And so Saul had to learn that. We have to learn that. That's something that we need to know, because many people today, they do that. They bargain with God. You know, if you save me from this car accident, if you save me from this circumstance, this situation, I will serve you. That's bargaining with God. That's not how you get saved. You get saved because the Spirit of God convicts your heart and you say yes to the Lord Jesus. So the amount that we have to do with our salvation is when the Spirit of God calls, we turn, he saves. It's that simple. We turn to him and he saves. Saul turned. Saul listened. That shining light, that voice. His eyes are shut. What's Saul thinking about? He's hearing that voice. He's hearing that voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Those words are in Saul's ears. And those words are getting to Saul's heart. And I believe while he's in this short period of time, I think that something flashed by him, and that was the words that were spoken when Stephen died. I think that came right back to him. I think those words, and you know, it's many times when the Lord is dealing with us, there are words that someone had spoken to us many days ago or years ago that come back to us because the Lord, His word is never void. It always comes. And so when we begin to look to the Lord Jesus and turn to the Lord Jesus, why then these words come back to us. And so we need to understand that it is the sinner who hears the Word of God, is convicted by the Word of God, is drawn to repentance through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we receive salvation, and not by bargaining with God. It's a sinner who is convicted by the Word and receives the Word into his heart, and now we are ready to follow the calling, the bidding, the words of Jesus as He gives us. So first of all, we ask, who are you? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What were you going to have? What do you want me to do? And then the Lord gives him directions. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul spent no time in bargaining. He spent no time in questioning the matter. He listened. And we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 1 because we learn much about Paul from some of his other writings as the Spirit of God directed him to record. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. We find by this verse of Scripture who Saul looks to for direction. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I conferred not with flesh and blood. In other words, he didn't try to figure it out himself. He listened unto the Lord. And that's what everyone must do in serving the Lord and in coming to salvation. Don't confer with flesh and blood. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the situation. Listen unto the call of God. You know, Saul's conversion here, this bright light, the voice from heaven, that's how every one of us got saved, wasn't it? That's not how you got saved? Oh, I was, just by bright light, and it shot me down to the ground, and I heard the voice from heaven. No. Kind of a spectacular thing, wasn't it, that Saul experienced here? But what we need to understand, that Saul is saved exactly the same way that you and I are. He needed to listen, respond, and turn to Jesus. Just because we have this Shekinah glory and we have the words of Jesus himself speaking, God had a special purpose for this man named Saul. But he has a special purpose for each one of us. And just because we didn't break down and just weep and cry when we got saved, or, you know, there is 1,000 different responses to what happens the day that we trust in Jesus. But the important thing is that we turn to the Lord Jesus. We let Him do the saving. We don't do the bargaining with Him. And so please, when a sinner hears and obeys the words of Jesus, faith comes. Faith brings grace, and grace saves. Now let's confirm that in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we need to understand that for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. And so please understand the precious gift of salvation that is given to us. And then, in God's Word, we take many things as a suggestion. What's the first thing that comes after salvation? Baptism. He doesn't say, I think you should be baptized. You know, it'd be a good idea to be baptized. He commands us to be baptized. That's what should happen after you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, sometimes it's a long period of time. Sometimes it's immediately following your trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when God speaks, and it's the same thing here, he didn't suggest Saul to go to Damascus. He commanded him. It wasn't a suggestion. Abraham was told, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. He didn't say, Abraham, it'd be a good idea if you'd kind of move on. This is a pretty rough bunch that you're living around. I need to go on. Get thee out, the scripture says. And here it's the same way. This word came, and the word comes to us the same way. It is not a suggestion, it is a command, and we need to treat it as so. The men, let's look at the men for a second in verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So let's look at that for just a minute. Who are these men? What were they doing there? Were they there assisting Saul in capturing the Christians? You know, Saul could find them, and then Saul would capture them, and then Saul would send those captured men and women back with part of the group of men, and then others would join him that they could just continue, and Saul continued with the papers and the authority to do this. Is that what they were doing there? Were they followers? It would seem that they were with Saul. There wasn't just somebody else along the road, but they were messengers. They were folks that came with him. Now, what happened to them? And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. And that word speechless, once again, is with astonishment, could not speak, rendered mute, the scripture says. Rendered mute. And so the men with Saul, now we're going to clarify this because I believe that Saul is the only one that heard the words of Jesus. Now, it tells us right here in the 7th verse, hearing a voice. But if you look at that word of voice, does not necessarily mean audible words. They heard a sound. You could put a sound there, would be the same thing. They heard a sound. And so the men which journeyed with them stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And so it was a voice as a man, I believe. I think the noise that they heard, but I don't think they understood the words, because this here was for Saul. This was for Saul and not for the other men. And so we find that they were made speechless. And Saul heard the voice, heard the words clearly, but the words were for no other. They heard a sound like a voice, but I don't believe they heard the words. And to even hear the words, unless you allow it to apply into your heart, it is of no value. It has to come into your heart. And so Saul allowed it to come into his heart. These men, whatever they heard, did not affect them in that manner. God deals with the heart. One must hear the voice of God with our heart. And then only can salvation come when that takes place. Verse 8 and 9. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. We don't know the distance. We know that he was close to the city limits, I believe. And again, it was about 120 miles from Jerusalem they had traveled. before this experience had come. And so now he's opening his eyes. How long was he on the ground with his eyes clenched shut and terrified, speechless? We don't know. But now that he has stood up or opened enough, did the bright light leave? Was the bright light, you know, if you got a bright light, you shut your eyes, you can see that light. It goes right through your eyelids. I mean, you can see a bright light even though your eyes are closed. Did the light disappear? Did the presence of Jesus end? And now he opens his eyes. When he opened his eyes, what happened? He was blind. They were still darkened. Black. Couldn't see. Let's think about Saul for a second. Had the authority by the Sanhedrin. Threatenings and slaughter, the scripture says in verse 1. That's the intent of this man named Saul. And he goes from a man of great authority and great power and great wickedness at his fingertips to a man that's blind, everything is black, and he has to be taken by the hand and led on into the city. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Saul opened his eyes. He was totally blind. Prior to this, he was always driven by his religion, which his religion drove his flesh. And so he had no idea at this point in time. He went from being in what he thought to be total control to no control at all. None whatsoever. Took all of his power away from him. The only way to do that is to blind him. Just blinded him. For 3 days he was blind. Now scripture tells us he also did not eat or drink during that 3 days. He was blind and didn't eat or drink. What was going through Saul's mind and heart during this time? Was he pondering on all those that he had arrested? All those that when they came to the fake charges that this was blasphemy against God? That his words were his words that he gave in testimony against these people, that's what put them to death? Was he thinking about every face he saw as they would not reject the name of Jesus? Was he seeing the face of Stephen when Stephen said the words when he was being stoned to death and he said that we're don't hold this against these men. And then he went to sleep. Saul was standing there, holding the coats for the men to stone this young deacon to death because he would not deny the name of Jesus. All these things with this question. Who art thou? I am Jesus. All the guilt of all the years, of all the things he had done. Now he is being led. He's blind. He can't see. And for 3 days, all this is going on. And so, just imagine. By hearing, who art thou? Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Again, I think he was not only seeing in his mind, but he was hearing the words of every believer that he had persecuted. 3 days not knowing whether he would ever see again. When going from this man of power to this shell of a man that's been broken almost instantly, and he can't see, will I be blind for the rest of my life? Now, Saul has met this man, God, named Jesus. For the first time, it is not a person that they crucified on Calvary as a criminal, as a blasphemer. Now, Saul knows him as his Savior. He has went from a man to knowing him as God, knowing him in the personal way as one must know him. In meeting with Jesus, his blindness, his memories of all the evil he's done, just literally took his appetite away for 3 days. Never ate, never drank. We find down in verse 11 that the Lord tells Ananias what Saul's doing. Go find him. He's praying. Let's take a look at this man of Ananias. There was a certain disciple, verse 10, at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, here I am. Behold, I am here, Lord. And so he responded instantly. And again, isn't it wonderful that the Lord knows our name? You know, he knows every hair on our head. We don't have to be concerned about our Lord because he knows that. And he understands those things. And he calls Ananias by name as he called Saul by name. He called Saul by name. And at this time, Saul wasn't even his. And yet he still knew his name. And so as we come now and he says, I am here, Lord. And here's what the Lord had to say to him. The Lord said to him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. And through Damascus, we would probably call that here Main Street, went right down through the middle of the street, and it was a straight street. And so he said, go to that street and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Look what the Lord did to Saul. Saul showed him in a vision while his 3 days of darkness, total darkness, he showed him in a vision what was going to take place. That a man was going to come in and was going to lay hands upon him and he would receive his sight. When did he get this? Was it the end of the 3 days? Was it at the beginning? When did he receive the word that the Lord would restore his sight? We don't know. Then Ananias answered. See, up until this time, Ananias was a ready servant, ready to go. I'll do anything for you, Lord. I will die for you. I'll go here for you. I'll go there for you. Until he found out who he was going to go see. All of a sudden, Ananias slows up just a little bit. Look at verse 13. Ananias answered, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And he's coming now. The word had already got to Damascus. He's coming with authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Lord, what are you asking me to do? Throw myself into the lion's mouth? Because that's exactly what he thought he was doing. Look what the Lord says in verse 15. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. We don't know much about Ananias. Acts chapter 22, verse 12, it says, a devout man of good report. And so we hold that, but that's about all we have concerning this man named Ananias. You and I would do the same thing when we found out who we were supposed to go see, when it was the worst threat of the Christians, and you're telling me I am supposed to go and see him, and I am supposed to pray for him. I'm going to find him praying. And yet Ananias believed the Lord and did as he was supposed to do. And so we're going to pick up Ananias next week, where he enters into the house in verse 17 and puts his hand on him, and he does receive his sight. Now, just because I've shared that with you doesn't mean you don't have to come next week and listen to the rest of the story. Beautiful message. I hope that there are many wonderful messages and things that we can share with folks. And I hope that you learn these sweet stories as this, that you don't even have to have your Bible in hand, but you can tell the story of how Saul was saved and how the Philippian jailer was saved. And there are so many as we come through, very familiar ones. But we need to be able to talk about those things and share them with folks that cross our paths. The Lord would like us to open the door of the Word of God to them and bring salvation to them. So please, learn these wonderful messages. I don't know how many times that this has probably been taught or preached to you, but it's a wonderful, wonderful experience where we see this, the worst man to the church is now saved and becomes a servant of the Lord Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Father, please, that we can just enjoy your precious word, learn your precious word, that if the day would come that someone would come and take all the Bibles, and that's happened in many, many lands, that all the Bibles were taken and people were only able to hold on to one page of it, and they would trade the pages possibly, or all was there was just in their mind and in their heart as believers, because they didn't have the opportunity to possess a Bible anymore and have it in their possession. Father, we take it for granted. We just believe it's always going to be there, and we really abuse it because we don't use it and study it the way we should. Father, please just take your precious word, instill it into our hearts, that we may know it and repeat it, and give it to folks and learn it ourselves and walk by it ourselves. And please, that the only way that we can do that, to possess your word, is to know you as our Savior. And so please today, that anyone here that has not come by faith to you and knows you personally. Saul knew all about this Jesus, but he didn't believe him to be the Savior. He does now. Please, that take place today. That all that are here, that they will do that, make that decision and not miss it today. Today is the day of salvation. Thank you, Father, for your precious word today, and touch every heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.